and welcome to Gloom and Bloom. This is Christine.
This is Taylor. You're here.
What's up, guys? It's February. It's finally not January.
But it's still day 1,000,001 of winter time.
It's true. But you know what? I keep thinking like February is almost over already. I'm like, oh, that's the 27th. That's next week. And they're like, yeah. Honey, it's like February 4th. I'm like, oh. It's just zooming by, though.
It better not zoom by. It's my birthday month.
I know. Yes. I
must last.
Yes, birthday queen. It is the shortest month of the year.
It is. So we have to celebrate you
so hard.
So hard.
Because on the 28th and you're a Pisces. Got it right.
You did it. You did it. I'm so proud.
I knew it.
I studied it. You've got it tattooed.
I should.
On the inner of your lip.
I don't understand that.
I don't. Why?
Like, why?
Like, it's like the only time you can see it is if you do this.
And like, why do you do that?
That just seems dirty.
Yeah, putting your fingers in your mouth, one. You know what? This is a side note. If you have a kid who bites their nails, you want me to, speaking of putting germs in your mouth?
Yeah.
Want me to tell you the story I told my kids to make them too scared to ever bite their nails again?
Oh, tell me, because I'm a nail biter, actually. I have to do my nails or else I will bite them all off. So tell me.
Okay, so a friend of mine, her daughter got something that's called pinworm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like where you get worms in your gut and they literally crawl out of your butthole at night.
Yeah, kids get that a lot.
Yeah, well, and she was like, I bet she got it because she bites her nails. So she's getting like bacteria in her mouth and germs and who knows what.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right. And then I came home to my kids and I was like, guess what will happen to you if you keep biting your nails?
They're like, no.
Yeah, they were seriously horrified. And now they all have like long, beautiful, strong nails.
Yeah.
I've told my neighbor a few times. So she's like, I bite my nails. It's so bad. I was like, do you want me to scare you out of it?
Like, it's not actually how she got it or not, but...
It is.
It could be.
In my mind, it absolutely is.
But, well, we got it in our house when I was a kid.
Pinworm?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, like, we all had it or if just one of us had it. But yeah. I just remember, like, the doctor checking.
Oh, man.
It's not.
No, that would be great. Mortifying as a little kid.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it's contagious. I don't know. Is it? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm like, I've heard it. Actually, I don't know if I have.
May or may not be true.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
But definitely creepy.
Yeah. No, like her husband like would wait for one to crawl out of their daughter's butt and would like get it to like get rid of them. Because they'll crawl back up.
And, no.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
They play. You know how people do those cleanses and they're like, I drink this drink and then all of these worms start. I'm like, I don't want to know.
I know.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, they're like, I passed a parasite. I'm like, oh my lord.
I know. They're
keep
like,
it to yourself.
It was 3 feet long. I'm all, ah.
I mean, I would like to get rid of that, but I never would want to see it.
No. Anyway.
It makes me feel really gross.
It really is gross. I'm also like, imagine pooping that out. No. It's like a foot long.
No.
You're just like waiting. And wait, I would go into a full-blown panic attack.
I'm panicking just thinking, like, the worm is, like, what, crawling inside the toilet bowl? Anyway.
If you've passed a parasite, please let us know.
Yeah, we'll keep it anonymous. We'll keep it anonymous. Unless you're really proud of it and you want us to tell your
name. But I need to know your experience. Like, did it come half out and you're, like, panic and you had to pull it out?
I had to do that when Chip ate his rope toy.
Oh my gosh.
Had to pull it out.
I hate, that's the thing. If you have a dog, I guarantee you've had this experience because how can you not? If your dog has had a rope, they chew it up, they eat the strings, and then they poop, and then they have strings hanging out of their butt. Yep. And there's, what, are you going to shove it back in? You can't.
Nope.
Are you going to let it just flops around your house?
You're not.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
Luckily, I'm a hairdresser.
Uh-huh.
I guess you could get like a Ziploc bag if you're not, but I just like got like a glove and just like,
there you go, glove. I put my hand inside of a Walmart sack, grabbed it, and then it was like, I never, like a poop bag, never saw it.
Yeah.
Didn't look at it. It was like a parasite.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it.
Wow. Welcome to Gloom and Bloom.
Hello.
Why do we always start with poop?
There is so much poop.
So much poop to be discussing.
Wow. Ugh. How was your week?
Oh my gosh. It was actually really great.
Yeah.
Todd took the two younger girls to St. George with him because he had a pickleball tournament that got mostly rained out. So it was a bummer. But So it was just me and Jocelyn at home because...
Is that, like, a super serious thing? Do they, like, wear sweatbands?
And no, like, they're very serious.
We're here to pickleball.
Yeah, Todd doesn't play constantly, so he got demolished. Especially in St. George, people, like, it's a religion.
Do they have a team name?
I mean, I don't know. Todd didn't.
The Pickle Petes, maybe?
The Dill Pickles. I don't know. No, but, so he was there... With the two little ones, I stayed home with Jocelyn because she had dance and birthday parties, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I did whatever I wanted.
You're like, whoa.
Because she was like never home.
No.
When she was, I was like just, you know, caring for one 12-year-old who's mostly self-sufficient. I was like, this is the easiest thing ever. So I watched, we've all seen Bridgerton. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Loved it. I decided to watch Queen Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah, I was confused because you posted about it and I was like, wait, did you love it or did you hate it?
I am glad I watched it, like, but it's not a happily, it's so different than the, because I think it's following like historical events of Queen Charlotte because I looked it up. Yeah, so.
Because I've heard lots of people loved it, but I was like,
he has like a mental illness and like, so they figure out how to be married. They meet, you know, arranged marriage, whatever. And so they like figure out how to be happy, but he has this like, I looked it up and it was probably bipolar or acute mania. So he'd be totally fine. And then he would just like be gone and be like, you know. So that continued to happen. And then they had like 12 kids and all their kids grow up to be like losers and none of them are married or have kids. And it's like putting their reign at risk, you know. And she was like never a good mom. And so it's just like, sad. What is this? And then the Bridgertons, the main family.
Yeah.
I can't think, like, Daphne and
yeah.
whatever. Their mom's in it. And she is, like, her whole plot is that she's finally horny again after her husband has been passed away forever. And it's just really weird.
Oh.
I'm like, why is this a storyline?
Wow.
But the casting was great.
Yeah.
And the costumes were insanely beautiful. The music's good.
Always.
But I mean, if you think that you're going to get a sweet love story, you're not.
You're not. Well, I assumed so because like with like the second season of Bridgerton, it does show him a little bit. And like, you're like, oh no, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And so like a little part of me was like, I need to know what's happening. What? Right. What?
Yes. So. And she's very sweet that she never, ever stops loving him. And she's like super patient with all of his, because they call him like the Mad King. He's like mad.
Totally.
And so that's beautiful. But the ending is just like, wow, everything sucks.
Yeah. Oh, that's rough.
So I did that.
Yeah. And then you watch something else, though, that's good.
Yes. So I started, because I was like, I need to watch everything Todd would not care to watch.
Right.
So Taylor and I have talked about it a few times, but I started watching Sex Education.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only watched like two episodes, but it's freaking great.
Oh, totally. I haven't watched it, but my sister-in-law told me, like, she's like, you and Jared need to like sit down and start watching this. You guys would love it.
Yeah.
And so we need to.
Yeah, it's great. It's like British.
Yeah.
So I just feel like British humor is like so like smart.
Top-notch.
And cheeky, and the accents are great.
Yes.
And there's like this edgy girl who looks like Margot Robbie when she was Harley Quinn. She looks like that. It's just great.
And it's about a sex therapist. And her son is like helping kids at his school give sex advice.
He is like a scared virgin who becomes a sex therapist because he's heard so many of his mom's sessions. And they're like, this kid's giving everybody pubic lice. And he's like helping people. So this gay kid comes up. He's like, I'm really afraid of bum holes. And he's like, oh.
He's like, oh.
He's like, I don't know how to deal with this. But it's great. I don't know when I'm going to find time to watch it because I don't think Todd would care for it, but I'm loving it.
Todd?
I know. I'm trying to think. I think it's just on Netflix.
Yeah. HBO, I think, actually.
Sounds right.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, you look it up.
I'll look it up right this instant. Well, that's so fun that you had a little calm weekend.
It was very nice.
Oh, and you finished your book.
I did. I finished Crescent
City. How
was it? I don't want to say too much in case people are still reading.
But, like, loved it, disappointed, did it live up to?
I liked it. It's so hard with books like this that have so much hype and so much to live up to that I don't even know. Like,
you're right. It's Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. So I'm, like, 70% happy with it.
Yeah.
The ending was good, but it's just so freaking long.
Is it open-ended to, like, for another or not really?
It's, like, it could be the last one, but there could be another book.
Mm, yeah.
So I don't know. But the next book she's writing is ACOTAR 5 or 6 or whatever. Yeah. And I'm really excited about that.
I saw some interview with her where she's like talking about like, after ACOTAR, now I'm going to do something that I've been really excited about for a long time. So I'm like, what is that?
I know. I'm like, is it something to do with Throne of Glass? Like, is Manon getting her own book or something?
I just like, a Throne of Glass? What if you cut yourself? You know?
It would be scary.
Yeah.
Like the Throne of Swords in, you haven't seen it, in Game of Thrones.
I mean, I've seen the throne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who hasn't?
Right? Who hasn't? Who among us?
Who among us has not? Okay. Have you heard about the Colorado thing, though?
I don't know.
So I was scrolling on TikTok when I stumbled across the most horrifying story I've ever heard of a, let me see if I can find
it. Was it of a man?
No.
Okay. Is it of a woman then? I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I don't know. So basically this lady is telling the story about how this couple bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'll play just the beginning part.
I was just reading an article about a couple who bought a home in Colorado. And when they went to the property to start clearing it, they invited people, probably on like a Facebook page or something, and they said, if you want some scrap metal or different things, we just bought this property, you can come out, take what you want.
They're just trying to clean up, you know?
Very nice. They're trying to clear the property so they can move, I guess, into the property. So a woman comes banging on their front door and says, hey, I need to use your bathroom. I need to wash my hands. And she says, what's going on out there? And she goes, well, we were taking out all of this dried out meat from a freezer in there because we wanted to transport the freezer. And as we were putting the meat into bags, a human head and a pair of hands fell out.
No. She's like, I gotta wash this off.
Well, that's like, the people in the comments are like, how do you open that conversation with a hand wash request?
No, there's a head in the freezer. It's, I gotta wash these.
Right? The lady all nonchalant. Let me in. I need to wash my hands.
That is wild. No, I did not hear that.
Isn't that so scary?
Oh my gosh, what a nightmare. Like, that is a nightmare. But buying a property that's a disaster, also a nightmare.
Right? Oh no.
Wow. That's amazing.
So that's going on right now.
That's exciting. I mean, that is some Colorado ass shit right there.
I don't want a head and hands falling out on my... Could you live there afterward?
Ah, probably not, bro.
That's what I said. And my husband's like, who cares? He's like, yeah. I was like, they probably were murdered in our home if that's the case.
No way they weren't murdered.
Yeah, they're just like people they found. They're just like, you know what?
We just found it.
I want to give them a nice burial in my freezer. Oh no.
I can't think of a worse place to
be.
Wow, that's stressful.
So there's that.
They're like, great, now we're not going to get to move in on time.
Oh, well, they were already moved in.
Oh, they were?
Yeah, they were just like, we're just clearing the property, blah, blah, blah.
Wow. I really don't enjoy that.
Yeah, so there's that.
There is that. So the Grammys were last night.
Yes.
I actually did watch a big
chunk
of it.
You did? Yeah. I didn't watch any of it. Yeah. I don't. Here's my problem. I don't know award shows are coming until they're over. And they're like, people are like, oh my gosh, look at this dress. And I'm like, wait, what?
And you're like, I missed it. I know. Jocelyn was like, we should turn on the Grammys. And I was like, you're right.
Well, where do you watch it?
This
is the other problem.
We have YouTube TV.
Oh, see, I don't have YouTube TV. And then like, I don't have like live TV, so I'm like, where do I watch these things?
Yep, that's why we have YouTube TV, just so Todd can watch sports, basically.
Yeah, and you the Grammys.
And me the Grammys.
Yeah.
But Miley's outfit.
Weird.
I was going back and forth because I'm like, it is very unique and cool.
And good for her.
Yeah, her hair, I'm like, I have questions.
That
like
was really
I
strange.
I understand, like, she's, because I mean, Miley's roots are like 80s, 90s country, like her dad, and she loves Dolly. And so I'm like, I think it's cool, but I also think it was kind of ugly, but I love it for her. I don't know. She looked amazing. Like,
oh, she
looks like so fit and healthy. Yeah.
I don't know.
And I watched her performance and it was so good. She did amazing.
Oh, she's
like
phenomenal.
The staging, the lighting was really cool. Her mic work was awesome. And she won her first Grammy. I can't believe that.
Her first?
Yeah, that was her first Grammy for Flowers.
I love that for her.
I know. I was shocked. Wow.
But wow, Liam Hemsworth. Take that.
I know. Such a burn. She brought her new boyfriend. I saw them kiss and I was like, is that her brother? Her
new boyfriend?
I have no idea.
Is that her brother?
Like, they look like they could be siblings.
It's the brother from Hannah Montana. Jackson.
Yeah, that's the one. It was him.
He was there. Same haircut, too. Weird. Yeah.
Taylor Swift, like, won everything.
Of course.
No surprise.
Shocking. I was like, why is anyone else here? What is that?
Joss was so excited when she announced her new album, which was, like, amazing. But I wasn't a huge fan of her hair.
Oh, I don't know if I paid attention.
It was like side swept. Yeah, it was like a braid along the back and like over the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I didn't love it. I mean, her dress was really pretty and like, I liked the structure of it. But I was like, I would have done something else with your
hair. And she's got such phenomenal hair too. That's the thing. Is like, it can just be like, oh, sorry, I'm not trying to play footsies with you. It can just be like wavy and down and like her bangs. Like I'm digging all of it.
Oh, I love her bangs. But like, yeah, she pushed those to the side too, which I'm like, your bangs are cute. Just wear them normal.
Totally.
Like they were like slick to the side, but they're short. So
yeah, it's not even like a braid. There is a braid in it.
Yeah, it's like I don't know what it's called. It's like the opposite of a waterfall braid. Oh, how it's like, it goes up, but it's like all connected at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Interesting. I don't love it.
Yeah, it's a choice.
But I love Taylor Swift.
But we love her, and she is a queen.
And so. I did see, what's his name? Beyonce's husband, Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah?
He got some award, and his speech was awkward.
Oh.
He was like, basically, the gist I got was he's been boycotting the Grammys on and off because he feels like black artists get snubbed more often than not, and how it thinks it's ridiculous that Beyonce, who's won like the most Grammys ever, has never won Album of the Year.
Oh.
So he was just like kind of tearing down the Grammys.
That's a little awkward.
It was kind of, it was long. I was like, he's going to get the music played on him. But he didn't. And Blue Ivy went up on the stage with him and she's so grown up and beautiful. Oh my
gosh, insane.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Like, I think Beyonce is fantastic, phenomenal. Right. She has some really good music. I have bought multiple of her albums and I've been like, oh, I really like these few songs.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I've been like overall impressed with the whole album.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
I know lots of people are.
Yeah, so many people are like Beehive and it's like their religion, like how people love Taylor Swift, people love Beyonce.
She's like the equal to Taylor Swift, right? Like she had the also giant concert of the year.
Yes, it's so true. Yeah, but Taylor Swift won 4 albums of the year and Beyonce has won 0.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting.
Yeah, but Taylor Swift, like she'll have almost every single song is like a chart-topping hit.
And you're like, how?
Where like Beyonce's, it's what? Like, I'll hear like 3 songs from an album.
And they're phenomenal.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. It's just like only a couple of them stick.
Totally.
But like Taylor Swift, everything's a hit.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Interesting.
I just think it feels weird when people, it feels pouty.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
And it was like, basically he was boycotting. He's like, if black artists aren't winning every Grammy, then I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's like, I guess one way to look at it. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but I was like, you seem like petulant.
Well, and I think that like, I think it's fair to be like, you know, if there's not representation, that's totally not fair. But.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was trying to look up who was hosting the Grammys. Trevor something. Trevor Noah was the host. Trevor Noah,
he's great.
He was fantastic.
He's so good.
He's from South Africa.
He's been on like The Daily Show. He has his own show. He's hilarious.
Yes, he was like a really great host. And even I was looking through comments because I was like, oh, somebody's going to have something negative that I missed, you know?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, he needs to host every award show.
Oh, because he's just phenomenal. He approaches everything in a funny but appropriate way.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how to describe him.
Yeah, but he was like,
he's magic.
Knocking it out of the park. There was this one part where he was like, I'm going to put Taylor Swift on blast tonight or something. He's like, I'm going to get revenge. You know how like the NFL is pissed every time something happens, they go to Taylor Swift. So like anytime Travis Kelce's brought up, they go to Taylor Swift. So he's like, every time Taylor Swift's name is said tonight, I'm going to put the camera on a former football player. And so then it goes to Terry Crews because he's like the only formal football player. And it was like hilarious. Oh, everybody loved it.
I love it. Awesome. Oh.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about the Grammys.
I love it. I know. I wish I would have watched more. I just, like, I didn't.
Yeah. And you probably saw all the good parts on, like,
I really didn't,
though. E-news or whatever.
Yeah. I'm like, them. I just didn't see a ton. And I was like, oh, I probably should have, like, looked into that more, you know?
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, okay, I have one more show. Because you know me and Todd have been hopping shows.
Yes, you're nothing, show hopping.
Nothing is sticking. We're going to finish this one. It's a miniseries. So it's, I can't remember what it's called. American Crime Story or whatever, how they did the OJ one.
Yes.
The Menendez brothers.
Are you doing the Feud one? The new Feud one?
No. What is that one?
Let me look. I can't remember.
Well, the one we're watching, which I didn't even hear of it when it came out, is called Impeached. It's about the Clinton
thing. Yes.
Because we're watching it and I'm like, I literally knew none of this.
Oh, I don't know very much about it either, but he does a really good job of telling those kinds of stories.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's we watched one episode last night, but we're super into it. And the girl, what is her name? Sarah. She's in like American Horror Story too. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Who is it? What does she look like?
Hang on. I don't even know.
The new Feud is Capote versus the Swans.
Oh.
I know.
Like Truman Capote? I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, Truman Capote.
Huh. Okay, her name is Sarah Paulson. She's this one.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So she's in this, but she is like, she looks so different. It's like,
well,
she's such a good actress.
Yeah, she was in the OJ one too.
Yes.
She is so diverse and she's in every American Horror Story. She's in everything. She's fantastic.
She's so good.
I love her.
Okay, that's all I've got.
Okay, the other things we just watched before this started, though, about valuable sperm whale poop
and, or vomit. Throw up.
Yeah.
Could be either or.
They're like, some person was like holding something like, that is, do you remember what it's called?
Something gree.
Ambergris. Ambergris?
Ambergris.
And they're like, that's worth like
$80,000. Yeah, it looks like fat. He said, it smells sweet. He's like, I don't know what this is.
And they're like, they use it in perfumes.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
I was like, I'm horrified.
Oh my gosh. Disgusting.
Yeah. So what happens is they eat squid. Squids have a beak that cannot be
digested.
Yeah. So their body like coats it in ambergris. And then they poop or throw it up, depending on what's going on with the whale.
And then it floats around in the sea.
Yep. And then it washes ashore and it's freaking little greasy gold mine.
Yeah. And people are like, oh my gosh, I made $1 million off this throw up. Great.
I'm like, I'm horrified that I may or may not have sprayed that on my skin at some point in my life.
They said it's banned in America, so probably not.
Oh.
So that's good for us.
Probably. Well, because they're like, it's natural. You need something made in a lab that will give you an endocrine problem. Yeah,
well, they also said it was because sperm whales are on the endangered species list. So that's why they say no.
Save the whales.
Save the whales. Let and their vomit. Their
throw up. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, well, I mean, is collecting their throw up,
it's illegal.
Hurting them? I don't know.
Yeah, truly.
I'm not sure. Maybe there's some sort of dark web thing going on where people capture sperm whales, they feed them octopus or squid, and then they force them to throw up,
uh-huh.
And then they collect it.
Yep, they're harvesting. They're harvesting the ambergris.
That's not a career I want to go into.
Not so much.
Personally.
I'd rather rob banks or something, you know, something more respectable.
Yeah.
Something not so endangered species.
That sounds right up my alley. And then we also had a listener who's my friend, Tara. Okay.
Yes.
She sent us pictures of her swimming in the Amazon.
Yes, because my story where the girl had to survive in the Amazon after the plane crash, and she
willingly.
Yeah, she went. She like showed us a video of her jumping in the Amazon. She swam in the Amazon River like an absolute psychopath.
But and we love her for it.
It appears that she caught a piranha.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, she didn't really say it, but I'm like, that bitch is a piranha.
Oh, it's scary.
It's got like really frightening teeth.
Absolutely. And they're just holding it. Like, it's nothing.
No, yeah, she's just holding it.
She's like a traveling queen, so.
We love to hear it.
I'm a little jealous.
Me too. I mean, I don't want to swim in the Amazon.
But no, but I
I love that for her.
But I feel like if I did, I would tell everybody.
Oh, you have to.
Absolutely.
White pics or it didn't happen.
Right? Okay, I have one more thing to tell you.
Okay.
I found a TikTok the other day that I was like, oh, me and you, can relate. Because what did we do every Thursday night when we were young? Go 80s dancing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I was trying to think how young you were going.
When we were infant babies, every Thursday night.
Yes, we would go to 80s dancing.
So I found this girl who came upon this song, and she was like, imagine hearing this at the club. And I was like, oh, I did.
What is this song?
Blue Monday. I was like, this was every Thursday night for me. Are you kidding me?
Oh, absolutely. And I was like, wore the sunglasses that were like blinds.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
And she's a Gen Zer, so she's 22. If she had lived here in Utah, she would have had the pleasure.
Are they still doing Area 51 80s night?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That would be magical.
But hey, Gen Zers, go. You will have the most fun of your entire life.
Seriously.
Because I always did. I went, last time I went, I was like 8 months pregnant with Jocelyn.
I love that. I also just have like the most unhinged photos of me 80s dancing on my Facebook.
We'll share some this 4, week.
4,000 albums of me in a sports bra and overalls with a sweatband.
That sounds amazing. I was just wearing neon colors.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I was just super excited.
And like a
all
white
mesh
long sleeve shirt over like a bright blue leotard.
So good times.
The best times.
Okay. Who is first? Do you know? Should we ever remember? Maybe.
What did you do last week?
I did the Grand Galvez Hotel.
I think
it's me.
You're first.
Yes. Okay. Prepare yourself.
Fortifying. My mind.
Well, today I'm going to tell you the story of a woman named Ruthie Mae McCoy.
Ooh.
I know. Maybe you've heard of her. Maybe
I have a nephew named McCoy, probably named after her. We'll see.
Probably. So I just like stumbled upon this story and I was like, this is crazy. And parts of her story were actually used in the movie Candyman.
Oh.
The scary movie Candyman.
I'm so scared.
I mean, it's really depressing. It's not so scary, but it's just sad.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Ruthie Mae McCoy, she was born in Hughes, Arkansas. And you just gotta look up a picture of her.
I'm sorry,
she's
it's
adorable.
Actually pronounced Arkansas.
Arkansas. You're right. I apologize.
Say it right.
Hughes, Arkansas.
That's probably how people from, like, when we pronounce, like, Italian villages, like, that's probably what we sound like to them.
Oh, totally. Like, I can't pronounce any of them. No. Rome. I can do that.
It's actually Roma.
Roma.
Yeah, you done messed it up.
So this is cute Ruthie McCoy.
Oh, I love
She's
her.
She's adorable. So she was one of 8 children growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, when she was small, her family moved to the south side of Chicago. They were really hoping for like a more prosperous life there. You know? Anyway, a lot of Black families at this time were moving from the South to Chicago in hopes of the same thing. That they could, like, make it big and move up and, I don't know, just have a better life. And unfortunately, the city was not as kind to them as they had thought it would be. And they found themselves scraping by. And her dad, all the way up until age 87, loaded coal onto wagons and various yards, earning very little money.
Oh, that like hurts my heart.
I know. She attended Phillips High School for a little more than a year. And when she was in her early 20s, signs of mental illness began appearing. They weren't sure exactly what was going on with her, but they said that she would talk to herself and would burst into anger unexpectedly.
Sorry, how old was she when that started happening?
In her early 20s.
Yeah, that's like when a lot of mental illnesses will show up. Like,
I think a lot of people think like it's going to be like super young. And so when that happens, they're like, wait, what's going on here?
Yeah, like schizophrenia will come on at that time.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, she was later in her life diagnosed with residual type schizophrenia, which is a diagnosis that arises when someone has experienced schizophrenic episodes in the past, but is not currently exhibiting symptoms.
Interesting.
I know. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, I don't know anything about anything.
She grew up very religious Baptist, and Ruthie never married, and she only had one child. Her name is Vernita, and she was 20 when she was 27 years old at the Cook County Hospital.
Great.
I know. Vernita had to stay with relatives often, like off and on, because Ruthie was often institutionalized on and off.
My heart, especially during that time. Woof.
Yeah, this was like, yeah, in the 60s or something.
I mean, it was probably a little bit better than back when I shared about asylums, but probably not much.
Not much, because like lobotomies happened frighteningly recent.
Yes, it's true.
I really hate it.
I know. Let me.
I know. I'm like, I can't even remember like when the height of lobotomies were, but it was like in the 60s, I swear. Maybe 50s.
I don't know. I'm Googling it. Oh, the 1940s and did the 1950s.
Yeah. But that's like not just that barely ago. Before this.
It's true.
So when she would take her medicine, she would do okay. But when she wasn't, she would talk to herself and sometimes swear at strangers on the street.
Oh, that sounds like Tourette's.
Yeah. I mean, she just had a really hard time. So she would work odd jobs here and there, like being a laundromat attendant, housekeeper. But it was really hard for her to like hold a job for more than a month or two. And she spent most of her adult life on financial aid.
Yeah.
Ruthie and her daughter lived in Dearborn Homes, the South Side, in the South Side Housing Project, when Vernita was young, and then in cramped apartments on the south and west sides. In May 1983, she moved into her 11th floor unit in the Abbott Homes after applying for emergency CHA, Chicago Housing Agency, I think.
Okay.
So emergency CHA housing when her basement apartment flooded. And when she applied, she had asked to be placed in the Wentworth Gardens on the south side near relatives and not to be placed in a high rise, which was unfortunately what happened. So these are like the projects of Chicago.
Okay.
So it's a really rough area. And when Ruthie was 52, she had been living the last 4 years in a high rise building near the south side of Chicago Housing Authority project known as ALBA. Or ALBA. I don't know how you say it. It's like all capital, though. And she lived in one of the 7 15-story Y-shaped towers named Grace Abbott Homes, the most dangerous buildings in ALBA.
Whoa.
Yeah. And the buildings had malfunctioning elevators, pitch black stairwells,
horrifying
attics on every floor, and there were many people like lurking in the shadows, and you always had to be looking over your shoulder.
Oh my.
I know.
I can imagine living in that.
I know. And she had been known for her behavior of cursing at strangers and waving sticks at teens that were in her way. But then she started to turn a new leaf in her life, and she started dressing a little bit better. I think her mental health was getting better, and she started to be a little bit less ornery and was even pleasant to many people. And she began leaving the project early most weekdays. Mornings, saying she was going to school.
Oh.
She was like going back to get her GED, I think.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. And so she had been receiving a monthly income of about, from government assistance, of $154 a month. But she applied to receive supplemental security income for physical and mental mentally disabled, which helped immensely and would pay her $340 a month. So like almost double what she was getting paid before.
Do you know what that is in today's dollars?
I didn't look it up.
Here, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
$154 in today's money. What? Oh, I don't know. $400?
Okay.
And then
$350. 340, I guess.
340 is 1,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a lot.
1,000 a month. No, you can't live off that by any means.
No.
And she's obviously living in a part of Chicago that was, you know, built for, you know, systemic racism, where these areas are built to keep people in these really not great situations.
Yeah.
But she got accepted. Like, they were like, you've applied, we've accepted your application. And when she received her first check, they paid her back retroactively from the time of her application. And so she received a check for $1,979.
She's probably like, hot damn.
Oh, totally. And so she intended to use this money to get her out of public housing and buy herself. The other thing she wanted was to buy herself a winter coat and some clothes.
Honey.
I know. And people in the project started to notice the difference in her. And then on Wednesday, April 22nd, she returned home in the afternoon from going to her little the school that she was finishing. And that evening around 8:45 p.m., the Chicago police got a 911 call from Ruthie saying, I'm a resident at 1440 West 13th Street.
Okay.
That's helpful. And some people next door are tearing this down, you know?
Whoa.
And the police, like, did not know what she was talking about. And they were asking, like, well, what's going on? And they were trying to, like, understand what she was saying, but they finally think they figured it out. So they said, they want to break in? And she said, yeah. They throwed down the cabinet. And the dispatcher asked, from where? And she responded, I'm in the projects on the other side. You can reach my bathroom. They want to come through the bathroom.
Oh.
Yeah. And the dispatcher got her address again and informed them that the elevator was working, because obviously it's not always working. And she gave them her name and told her that they would send police right over. And since the dispatcher wasn't sure what was going on, he sent an officer over from the 12th district to answer a disturbance with a neighbor complaint.
Okay. I mean.
But yeah, since he didn't report it as a break-in, no one had arrived even by 9:02, so like 25 minutes later.
Oh, no.
And then at 9:02, another 911 call came in about Ruthie's apartment from a woman who said that she had been walking through the hallway and heard gunshots in the apartment. And then another phone call came in at 9:04 reporting gunshots and hollering. And finally, two police cars headed out to the scene. And finally, officers arrived at the door of Ruthie's apartment at 9:10. 8:45 is when she called.
Okay.
I can't math.
No.
That's 25 minutes, right?
Sure. Okay.
Anyway, so they knocked on her door and announced that they were the police and no one answered. And they asked the dispatcher to call Ruthie on her phone, thinking that someone was being held in there.
Oh.
And the officers listened to the phone ringing, like, through the door. So they called the project office, which was a block away, to get the key. But the key that they ended up getting didn't fit in the lock.
Break in. What are you doing?
Ah!
Right?
Yes. So they talked to the neighbors and everyone said that she always answers her door. And they called the janitor and he said he didn't have a key. So naturally, they leave at 9:48 p.m.
What?
They're like, well, what else can be done, you know? So the next day, they get a call from a woman named Deborah Lasley, and she's telling the police that Ruthie would normally stop by her apartment on her way out of the building every morning and when she would get back every day. But she hadn't stopped by that day, and she was worried because she'd seen the police out by her apartment the night before.
Yep.
So more police come to the building and, again, knock at her door, but nothing. No calls are being answered. The door is not being answered. And a lot of the police thought they should break the door down, but security guards discouraged them, saying that a tenant could possibly sue them if they broke in. So the police were like, again, oh, well, what can be done?
Yeah.
And they left again.
My gosh.
And then Deborah, the friend, was super concerned. So she took her concerns to the project office. And so at about 1 p.m. on Friday, she called on Wednesday. It's Friday now.
Oh, my gosh.
A project official arrived at Ruthie's door with a carpenter, and they drilled through the lock and found Ruthie in the bedroom, lying on her side in a pool of blood with a hand over her chest and one shoe on and one shoe off. I know. The house had been gone through, and there were papers everywhere and coins all over the floor, and she had been shot four times. They said probably with a medium caliber gun.
Hmm. my hell.
I know. A medical examiner said a bullet passed through her left shoulder, another through her left thigh. The third entered the right side of her abdomen and pierced her liver. And the fourth passed through her upper right arm and entered her chest and severed her pulmonary vein.
Oh, so that one did it then.
Yeah. So the medical examiner said the cause of death had been internal bleeding, saying that she probably didn't die immediately, but because the injury to the pulmonary vein, he doesn't think she was alive for very long.
Oh, man.
But she probably wouldn't have survived even if she had been taken to a hospital.
Yeah, well, I guess that... I mean, it's still awful, but
still very upsetting. Like
she was in there for days and dying slowly. I guess.
She was finally pronounced dead at Cook County Hospital at 4:35 p.m. Friday, April 24th. So freaking heartbreaking. But unfortunately, this area, like in the projects, killings don't typically make the news because a lot of people are Black and they just do not get the same news coverage.
Yeah,
that white victims get. And because violent deaths happen almost every week and 2 to 3 times a week in warmer weather.
Oh my gosh.
It's aggressive. And these are like violent deaths. These aren't like just casual, this person passed away or like whatever.
Attacks.
And within 7 days of Ruthie's death, 2 other residents had died in violent deaths.
Wow.
But the murder of Ruthie, who is a middle-aged, mentally ill woman, did receive a little bit of coverage soon after in the Black-owned paper, The Defender. And in The Defender story, the police said that Ruthie probably knew the attacker or attackers because there was no indication that they had forced their way in.
But didn't she say they came in through the window or something?
Well, we'll get to that for sure. So after a second suspect was arrested, the Tribune did run a small brief story on Ruthie on June 10th, being made newsworthy by the fact that detectives determined that Ruthie's killers had entered her apartment through her medicine cabinet.
Yeah, wow, not even a window.
No.
Like, they came through the building.
Through the building.
She said they threw the cabinet or something.
I know. But do you know what this reminds me of?
What?
Freaking, like, I mean, this is ghosty, but, like, the one with the wife. Or whatever, what lies beneath.
Oh,
when you keep seeing the person through the mirror.
Yes.
But I'm like, what if you're like standing there and somebody busts through your medicine cabinet?
No, that would be so horrifying.
Ah!
Yeah, because you're just like not expecting it.
I hate it. So the article reported that Ruthie had heard the intruders attempting to break in and called 911 as well as reporting gunshots. But when the police arrived... and no one answered. They left until her body was discovered 2 days later. I think I also read, and I can't confirm this, but I think I also read that she had actually had someone break into her apartment via the medicine cabinet before.
What?
And, like, just rob her.
Because, yeah, like, what can you do about that? Besides, like, wall it off. But, like, what?
Well, and we'll get to a little bit of this later, but, like, it wouldn't even happen. Like, or it wouldn't even help. So it left people with questions like, what kind of place is it where a person can get killed by people coming through the medicine cabinet? And how could police neglect to enter her apartment on the first night?
Yeah.
But that was the last story on the killing any Chicago Daily paper did.
Perfect.
And the truth is that this is just a story of like our system failing a vast majority of people because they are a minority.
Uh-huh.
And it's really sad. And people get desensitized by what goes on there because that's their everyday.
Like, oh, you live in a shitty part of town. Like, they're like,
well, you better move somewhere better. And it's like, but that's not how it works. Yeah. And you just, So horrible things happen there all the time. So they here's some of the things they said happen. And this is very upsetting, just to warn people. But they said that babies have been tossed out of windows. Teenagers have been shoved down elevator chutes. And intruders bust right through apartment walls to rape and murder tenants.
No, because it's like they're just so shitty built that they just
like
can.
Everything's not great. Yeah. And... so why is a medicine cabinet murder newsworthy is basically what they're saying. Like, so what? Like
bad things happen here constantly.
Right. And they're like, oh, who cares? And the people that were residents of these towers weren't even startled when they heard about how this attacker broke in, because intruders had been breaking into apartments through medicine cabinets for over a year.
Great.
And a lot of the youth knew that they could maneuver their way through there from one apartment to another through the pipe chase about 2.5 feet across between the cabinets. And then the cabinets themselves were only secured with 6 nails. And so it really wasn't a difficult thing to get in there.
Wow.
I know. And there are some areas of the building that you could climb vertically in the pipe chase to an apartment above or below the one that you started in.
I don't like that.
I know. The janitor said that it's the way to go from one apartment to the next, even if you're not killing somebody. You can just get around that way in there.
What?
I know. But this had become commonplace for gang members to take over a pair of adjacent apartments and take down the medicine cabinet for an easy escape route if police were to enter one of the apartments.
Oh my gosh. Well, and there's probably like you can just hide too.
Mm-hmm. And then the cabinet opening is really small, though, they said. So yeah. It's only about 1.5 feet wide. And there are pipes that are in the way that you have to like squirm past. And they said a lot of local policemen wouldn't be able to make it through there. So it's just quick escape.
Smallish people can do it.
Yeah. And so it's just sad that this is the circumstance of the area.
Yes.
And that Ruthie's case didn't really get a lot of attention and kind of like, oh, well, there wasn't much we could do when no one even attempted to get into her apartment. When there's other stories, like in the same city, I believe, there was a story around the same time of a woman named Nancy White, who was a white suburban woman, white collar worker, who died in a high rise fire that May. And there were indications that the 911 system had failed her. And this prompted weeks of media coverage, a city council investigation, a council hearing featuring testimony by the fire commissioner that was broadcast live on public radio.
Oh my gosh.
Just like the insane difference.
It really is.
And this is like, I mean, so shitty that this girl died in a fire. Like, yeah. Nobody should die in a fire. But this lady literally had someone enter her home through not even a window or a door and was murdered. And she called the police and no one showed up to check on
her. They failed her too.
It's so shitty. Yeah, some of these things, it's like so hard because I'm like, ugh.
You're like, why is it this way?
It's so dumb. So meanwhile, when a reporter asked like the police about Ruthie's case, the police department spokesperson said that they couldn't discuss the case because of a full-scale investigation that was in progress where they were interviewing later. But then later when the reporter asked again about it, they were like, oh, no, there really wasn't an investigation. And there was really no need for one. They're like, The officers did everything they could, and it was a tough call.
What?
Huh?
What? Huh? You mean then they're not even investigating it, like, try to figure out who did it?
Or no, they're just kind of like,
get evidence?
Well, I think by this point, they had a couple people that they had as suspects. Anyway. But whereas, like, the 911 call, like, if a 911 call came in from somewhere else other than the housing project, the officers may have forcibly entered the apartment to check the resident.
Wow.
But it's a tricky spot because they also said that a lot of 911 calls that come in from that area are hoaxes.
Why?
And officers have to consider that when choosing their course of action.
That sucks. Don't do that.
I know. But I'm also like, I understand that. And I get that, like, there's not enough people to check everything all the time. Yeah. But I'm like, a freaking older woman is calling you and acting panicked, saying that someone's breaking into her house. Well, you think that's a prank?
I know. Like, it'd be more typical of, like, younger kids and, like, teens.
I know. It's very upsetting. So, they said that finding a body in 1.5 days is actually pretty efficient in the Abbott homes.
No.
I'm like, they're just like...
But she was only dead for not even 2 days.
This is so typical. It's not even a big deal. We found the body. It didn't, like, rot. I'm like, wow. Congratulations. You only had a call from her, 2 neighbors that night, a neighbor the next day, and finally she had to get someone from her own complex to be like, hey, can we check this freaking apartment?
We gotta look in here.
Cool.
Wow.
I know. So the CHA projects that are made up of these high rises are a little island with no through streets. So the project designers thought that by eliminating the streets, they could give the residents more recreational space with like a heightened sense of community. But the open spaces are seldom used, and the lack of through streets actually helped isolate the project from the rest of the world. And
shit, love that when it backfires on you.
Yeah. And then, so fear of crimes keeps a lot of the residents pinned to their apartment day in and day out. Aww. And even generations have kids and grandkids just like living down the hall. So that's like, you're born into these kinds of situations, and then like your whole family's there. It's not like you can just like leave.
Right.
It's
just like generational oppression, and mm-hmm. like it's a bad cycle to get stuck in.
Yeah, it's really not fair. So detectives think that Ruthie's killers invaded her apartment because they figured that she had come into cash due to her like new outfits mm-hmm. and change of appearance and attitude. And unfortunately for Ruthie, the money that she planned to use to get out of the Abbott homes got her killed instead.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
I know. Later on, two men were charged with murder, home invasion, armed robbery, armed violence, and residential burglary. So the home invasion indicates that the police believed that the killers knew that she was home yeah. when they broke in. And they were hoping that she would be there so she could tell them where she hid her money or had her money stashed.
Yeah.
The intruders stole the phone that she called the police on, which was one of the three, at least three items stolen, but they aren't sure if any money was stolen. And the fact that the phone had been taken was interesting because the night she was shot, the police officers heard her phone ringing inside the apartment. So it had to have been taken after the police were there that night. And that means the killers may have been inside.
Yeah.
Or at least on the floor.
Yeah. Or they came back.
Yeah. But I'm like, oh my gosh, can you imagine? Like, what if the police broke in though? And they could have caught who was ever in there.
Always like, break in.
It's not just for the victim.
Yes.
So the two men that were arrested were both residents of Alba. Edward Turner, who was 19, was arrested in his row house apartment a few days after the killing. And he was unemployed and had no convictions, but had been on a bond charge of unlawful use of a weapon. And then on June 9th, police caught up with the other suspect, 25-year-old John Hondras, after they received a tip that he was in the 9th-floor apartment of the Abbott High Rise, a block from the one that Ruthie lived in. And they found him hiding under a bed. He also had previous convictions for robbery and possession of a stolen vehicle. They were arrested after several interviews where people basically pointed the finger at them, saying that they had used the medicine cabinet to get in. Ugh. And they were, it was unclear because there were multiple articles I read, and they either were not found guilty or they had the charges dropped due to lack of evidence. I know. So but
either way, they didn't go to jail for it.
Not exciting. Yeah. And then 5 years later, the murder of Ruthie McCoy helped inspire the classic horror film Candyman, which is a movie that tells the story of like a Bloody Mary type story.
Oh.
But you say Candyman in the mirror 5 times and he guts you with his hook hands. I watched a clip and literally he like comes out of the cabinet and like claws you at it with his hook hands.
No thanks. I won't be. You'll have to ask your cousin on.
I know. I'm like, away. I can't do that. And then in the movie, some janitors tell the main character, a woman named Ruthie, who they believed was killed by the Candyman.
Oh.
So she got a little spot in that.
Yeah.
And that is my story of Ruthie Mae McCoy and the really shitty system we have for minorities in America. Welcome to Black History Month, guys.
Oh, yes. Yes. Happy Black History Month.
So, my sources for this were thelineup.com, Ruthie Mae McCoy, the chilling case behind the Candyman by Vernita Vergara, and allthat'sinteresting.com, the real life stories behind Candyman, a medium.com by Shanice. And most of my story came from a Chicago Reader.com article that goes way more in depth on like the area and the housing projects and the problems that people face by mm-hmm. Steve Bagoria.
Wow. I don't think I've ever heard that story.
I hadn't either. And I was like, that poor woman. Jeez. And she's so sweet looking. And
she really is.
Like, I don't care if you have mental illness. Like, that should not be a reason.
Less of a human, you know?
No. The color of your skin, your mental illnesses, nothing should make you less important.
Your tax bracket.
And it's just very upsetting to me. So I thought I'd share it.
I'm very upset. So mission accomplished. Okay, my twin. Today I'm doing something different again.
Oh.
This week we will learn about something that is very hotly debated. It's a hot topic. It always has been.
Is it the store Hot Topic?
Yes.
Oh my
and
God.
And the Glee tour of Hot Topics at the mall.
Whatever. Yes. Controversial to a lot.
It's super controversial. Mm-hmm. It's like, how many safety pins is too many on a pair of jeans?
Right?
Or is JNCOs?
Or is it the debate between Edward and Jacob Cole? No, Jacob Cole.
Edward, Cullen, and Jacob. Pretty sure Black. Jacob doesn't get a last name. Yes. Oh, it's
Jacob Black.
Black. You're right.
I remember those movies and books like it was yesterday.
I know. You just recommended them to everyone. So many people are discovering it for the first time.
They're pleased.
They're loving it.
We have received email after email after email. Thank you so much. I had never heard of this book. And wow, what a life changer.
If you thought the books were good, you should see the movies.
Whoa!
Top-notch acting, the best wigs in TV.
Oh my gosh. Is there a more believable cast?
No.
No.
Better hold on tight, Spider Monkey. Yes. Okay. No, it's actually not Hot Topic or Jacob versus Edward.
Dang it.
It's not that. We're going to be talking about the death penalty.
Dun, dun, dun.
We aren't going to decide if it's a necessity or not. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We will discuss the ways that the government has carried it out over the years.
Oh,
wow. So in your mind's eye, mm-hmm. we're going mm-hmm. way back, like 18th century and further back.
Wow.
For now.
Wow.
We're going to talk about, okay. This is just a rundown of the death penalty,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the first established death penalty laws date as far back as the 18th century BC.
I don't believe that.
I'm like, that's not a real...
I reject it.
...measurement of time. What?
1800 BC, you know, the year of our Lord.
The 1800 years before our Lord. What? That's not real.
I don't even... Does that... What... What is BC? Because people say like BC is like before Christ, right?
Right. So that would be 1800
really?
Years before Christ. And then like everything
what is
else
AD?
Is after death. So
I don't
there's,
think so.
Yeah. Hmm. You Google it. There's like a 33 age gap year because, you know, the age of our Lord where there's in no time.
Just no, those were just year 1 through 33.
Yeah, search. I swear it's after death, but I could be wrong.
I think that's just like a rumor that people have said.
Is it one of those Mandela effects or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mandela?
Watch, it's going to be, you're going to be right, but I'm just...
I mean, I wouldn't put it past me to be wrong.
AD stands for Anno Domini, the year of our Lord.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
So that's 33.
Yep.
Okay.
But like... So that's AD. So like 1800 AD, that's year of our Lord. I don't know.
So it'd be like 1 AD is 1 year after Jesus died.
But BC does stand for before Christ. I don't know how.
Well, what if you don't believe in Christ? How do you even get on board with that?
You know, I don't know how Jesus time works. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're on a different wavelength.
Yeah.
Okay. So a really, really long time ago. Mm-hmm. In the code of King Hammurabi.
A long, long time ago in a kingdom far, far away. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hammurabi of Babylon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that name back.
Yeah. If you have another baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hammurabi.
Hammurabi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this had, back in this time, they had the death penalty for at least 25 different crimes.
Whoa.
Yep. The death penalty was part of the 14th century BC's Hittite Hittite code. Mm-hmm. These are words I've never heard before.
No.
In the 7th century, the Draconian Code of Athens, which made the death the only punishment for all crimes. So you do any crime, guess what? Death. You stole? Dead, obviously.
But like, what classifies as a crime?
Let me see.
A crime of fashion?
Yes, crime of fashion. Your shoes don't match. Your hat. Dead.
It was a cutthroat time.
It really was. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in the 5th century of BC's Roman law of the 12 tablets, death sentences were carried out by such means as crucifixion. Ouch.
Whoa.
A very famous death penalty.
Pass.
No, thank you. Drowning, beating to death.
Ooh.
And burning alive and impalement.
Wow. That's they all sound
super horrible. Yeah. So in the 10th century AD, I can get on board with that. Mm-hmm. I know exactly when that is.
Sure.
No. hanging became the method, the usual method of execution in Britain.
Yeah.
In the following century, William the Conqueror would not allow people to be hanged, otherwise executed for any crime, except in times of war.
Hmm.
So they're either like super on board.
Or they're like anti-on board.
No, you can't. Yeah. Unless it's war. Mm-hmm. So that trend would not last. So in the 16th century, under the reign of King Henry VIII, saw as many as 72,000 people are estimated to have been executed.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. So they're just like left and right. Oh, kill him.
They're like, what would you prefer? Burn to death or impalement? And I'm like, can't you just give me the scald's bridle?
To death?
Yeah. Not to death, but I promise I'll shut up for a little bit.
And they're like, Yeah, they didn't even bring up the scald's bridle.
I mean, that was after this time.
Oh, yeah. And so then at this time, lots of executions were boiling. That's something that could happen to you. You could be boiled.
Whoa.
Boiled.
Where do you even find a pot that big?
A cauldron. A big-ass cauldron.
Who is making cauldrons?
You gotta call the witches. And then once you get them to bring the cauldron, you have to burn them for being witches.
Were people in this time just into, like, massive pots of soup?
Yeah. They were.
They're like, you know what?
They were also doubled as bathtubs, chamber pots.
Oh, that's a big chamber pot.
Hey, people got to share.
Our whole town shits in this chamber pot. It's the communal chamber pot.
And then when we're done with that, we use it to make stew in.
Yes. And then boil a person later next week.
Wow.
It's a really seasoned pot.
There you go, seasoned.
Yes.
Okay, so you could be boiled, burned at the stake, hanging, beheading, being drawn and quartered. Executions were carried out for such capital offenses as marrying a Jew.
Oh.
Marry a Jew, you're going to be killed, obviously. Mm. Not confessing to a crime and treason.
Wow.
Same level of crime.
Well, I think I've maybe brought this up on here before, but, you know, like if people ever ask you, like, what's your preferred way to die? Yeah. What's your preferred way to go if you have to go? And it's like, you know, I'd rather just like pass in my sleep or something.
Yeah.
My husband's is he wants to be beheaded.
Jared, I have a lot of info coming up about that. So he'll need to tune in.
Well, because I'm sure this is what you're going to talk about, but he's very interested if you stay alive after your head gets cut off.
We'll definitely mention it.
Yeah, and so that's why it's his preferred method. He wants to know for himself.
He's like, for science, for me to take to my grave.
Yeah, because he's like, there's been stuff, but he's like, we don't know.
You know what? We should have an adult science fair where you have your trifold board up and you're like, you have to say your hypothesis about your own beheading and then you do it. And then if you, we'll get to it.
This is like a suicide pact.
Well, it could be anything. It could be any adult curiosity you have. But Jared's just happens to be beheading.
And they're like, okay, now that your head's chopped off, are you right about your hypothesis? And they're like,
he has no vocal cords anymore. Yep, he only has the blinking power.
Yep.
Whatever. Moving on to away from Jared's dream. Okay. Okay, so the number of capital crimes in Britain continued to rise throughout the next two centuries. By the 1700s, 222 crimes were punishable by death.
That's a significant amount.
Right? Mm-hmm. I can't even think of 222 laws in general.
No! These are like the stupid laws that they like have on like the 50 weird laws of your state.
Yes, and where like, it's like, you can't have a stone in your pocket or something weird.
They're like, if you get caught with your fly down.
Dead.
40 years in prison.
Yeah. Yes, dead. Okay, so there was stealing, cutting down a tree, robbing a rabbit warren. Is that like a den? Like
robbing a rabbit warren?
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Because the severity of the death penalty, many juries would not convict defendants if the offense was not serious. So they're like, he's not guilty of stealing all the rabbits from the rabbit den.
Well, they just really didn't want them to rob the rabbit Warren. His name was Warren. Mm-hmm. He was beloved by the whole community.
And he was a very wealthy rabbit.
He was a wealthy rabbit. He gave back to the community a lot via his vomit.
He was Rabbit Hood instead of Robin Hood.
Rabbit Hood. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So yeah, they wouldn't.
No. What does this even mean?
I don't know. This part of the story I'm not into, so let's keep going. Okay, so this was leading to reforms of Britain's death penalty. From 1823 to 1837, the death penalty was eliminated they eliminated 100 crimes from the 222 that were punishable by death.
Also, only 122 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like really changing for the better.
Wow.
The most commonly used execution methods are lethal injection, like today, lethal injection, electrocution. However, there are a handful of states that use alternative methods. A man in Utah named Ronnie Lee Gardner chose to be shot by a firing squad in 2010.
And that was the last person to get that, right?
Yeah, and that is his right, apparently. Yeah. I mean, that's a quick way to go. The anticipation, though, would be awful.
I mean, the anticipation of any of them, really.
Oh, truly. So William Bailey was hanged in Delaware in 1996. And Walter LeGrand died via lethal gas in Arizona in 1999. Instead of just like...
Did he select that? Or
he must have. Because I think the standard one... Do you think
he thought that maybe he could just hold his breath for long enough?
Maybe. Or maybe he's like, I want to know what it was like in a Nazi death camp for fun. For science.
No, sir. No.
Well, they let him do it. Okay. So I've chosen to highlight just a few of the ways that the death penalty was carried out. And let us start with being drawn and quartered.
What?
I'll tell you. Drawing and quartering, part of the grisly penalty that started in England in 1283. AD, I'm assuming.
Nope, that one's...
BC.
Middle year.
Okay, so this was specific for crimes of treason.
Okay.
Crimes of treason, not trees of treason. What did I say?
I don't know.
This is really falling apart. So the full punishment of a traitor could include several steps to being drawn and quartered.
Okay.
First, he was drawn, and that is he was tied to a horse and dragged behind it to the gallows.
Oh, I don't like that. I was really hoping someone was just drawing him like Jack Drew Rose.
Yeah, but it's like really bad. And they're like, this is exactly what you look like.
It was caricature. Yeah.
And it's like really offensive. You're like, my teeth are not that big. And they're like, aren't they?
And then you just stare at yourself in the mirror for the next 100 years.
And they're like, punishment for your crime. So they're dragged to the gallows. Yeah, so they wanted you to be alive still when you get to the hangman. And then the remainder of the punishment might include being hanged, not to death. You're just choked and it's really scary.
Oh my gosh.
And then usually they lay you down and do a live disemboweling and burn your entrails in front of your face. Then.
What are entrails?
Like your guts and your intestines. Yeah. And then they will behead you. They behead you, but even though you're not there anymore, they're not done with you. They're still so mad at you for being a traitor.
Oh my gosh.
They are going to quarter you, which means they tie each one of your four limbs to a different horse, and then they make them run in all different directions, and then your body is torn apart.
Nope.
That's being drawn and quartered.
Nope, I hate it.
The most famous one is that in Braveheart. Do you remember that scene?
I've never seen it, no.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I can't watch that now.
No, don't.
Ew.
So yeah, it was Scottish patriot Sir William Wallace who died in 1305. According to some early source, Wallace was drawn for treason and hanged for robbery and homicide, disemboweled for sacrilege, beheaded as an outlaw, and quartered for divers and depredations. I don't even know what.
Diapers?
Divers. That's just what it says.
I wish it was diapers.
He illegally was diapered.
He actually invented diapers and they thought it was offensive. Like, so
that's a sin against God.
So like, that's it. Quarter him.
He's done. So that's being drawn and quartered.
That sounds horrible.
It really does.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad that's gone.
And I think in Braveheart, when they like take out his entrails and stuff, I think they also cut off his man parts.
Oh.
And then they burn it in front of you. And you're like, no, my spleen. And they're like, it's on fire. In your face.
How are you even alive?
I'm sure you're in shock.
I like to think that you get stabbed, you're dead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Immediately.
Like in all the movies, when you get punched once, you're knocked out for 2 hours.
Yep.
It's not like that. Next up, we're going to be talking about Jared's favorite, beheadings.
Yay! Yes. Yay, Jared!
Yay, Jared!
It's your time to shine.
Listen up, Jared. I'm sure you know all of this. So, beheading. It was a mode of executing capital punishment by which, obviously, the head is severed from the body.
Mm-hmm.
So, ancient Greeks and Romans regarded it as the most honorable form of death.
Yeah.
Before execution, the criminal was tied to a stake, whipped with rods, and in early times, an axe was used. Later, it became a sword.
Yeah, I think if you're going to do it, you got to do the guillotine.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, too.
There's no way.
It wasn't invented for some time.
Axing seems like too much.
Yeah, just wait. Okay, so, the sword was more honorable than the axe. Okay.
Oh.
It was used for Roman citizens. Ritual decapitations, known as seppuku, was practiced in Japan. Yes. So seppuku was in the 15th to the 19th centuries. Blah, blah, blah. One symbolic consequence of the French Revolution was the extension of the privilege of beheading to criminals. So they would do it to like fancy people. They'd use the guillotine on them.
To the fanciest of people.
The fanciest people, yes.
Ooh.
According to tradition, the beheading by sword was introduced by England by William the Conqueror in the 11th century. So death by the sword. The victim was, they probably knelt upright and a block would have been placed like so they lean over. Yeah. I mean, we all know this, but in case you've never heard of it, that's what happens. If you've seen any Game of Thrones, you saw multiple beheadings.
Oh my gosh. That sounds too
much. Yep, so they do a downstroke of the weapon and then you're...
Is it a clean cut though? I just feel like they couldn't like chop through it in one chop.
We will definitely talk about it.
I hate it!
Yep. Yeah, so they would do this to people and it was like considered the equivalent of being killed in battle. Like it was a high honor. Like it was the most dignified death they could offer you.
Oh, they're like, I'm so lucky.
At least it's quick instead of like, I don't know, burning them or something.
Totally.
You know? Okay. So one famous beheading gone wrong was Mary, Queen of Scots.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen Rain?
No.
It's on, I think, Netflix. It's probably very inaccurate.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I loved watching it.
Ooh.
Yeah, Mary, Queen of Scots. She was imprisoned for 19 years. She was beheaded at Fotheringhay Castle in England for her complicity to plot a murder against Queen Elizabeth I.
Ooh.
Elizabeth, long story short, Elizabeth was her cousin, and she wanted to overthrow her and become the Queen of England because they thought that she had the most rightful claim to it, whatever. Mm-hmm. So Queen Elizabeth initially welcomed Mary into her kingdom, and she was her friend under house arrest, though.
So nice.
Yep. So yeah, so she was like trying to overthrow Elizabeth. 19 years later, in 1586, they figured out what she was doing, and Mary was brought to trial, and she was convicted and sentenced to death. So the executioner and his assistant knelt before her and asked her forgiveness, because I think it was like a normal thing.
Yeah.
The executioner normally asked this before executing someone, and Mary replied, "I forgive you with all my heart. For now, I hope you shall end all my troubles." She kind of had a very sad life. Mary was not beheaded with one single strike. The first blow missed her neck and struck the back of her head. The second blow severed her neck except for a small piece, which the executioner cut through using an axe.
Oh my gosh.
The executioner picked up her head and held it high and announced, "God save the queen." And at that moment, Mary's auburn hair fell to the floor, revealing it to be a wig, and her head fell on the ground, revealing that she had very short gray hair. How embarrassing.
Ooh.
And it was reported by one onlooker that her lips stirred up and down every quarter of an hour after her head was cut off.
Ew.
And a small dog that was owned by the queen emerged from hiding under her skirts.
No.
I said, I'm horrified. There's so much to unpack there.
Seriously.
If you're going to be the executioner, have good aim. Hit her in the back of the head.
That's insane. Also, of course, she's like, "I forgive you with all of my heart." I would have been like,
yes. Hexing, yes. Spitting.
And they're like,
No, she's way nicer than us.
When you chop my neck, the spirits of the devil will come out and haunt you for eternity.
Yeah, you probably would have reconsidered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, fun tip. Yeah. You're going to get beheaded.
Especially in that time.
Oh, yeah. And then they'd be like, "Actually, we're not going to behead you. We have to burn you now." She's like, "Damn it."
I'm like, "Well, I'm cursing you too. Again, okay?"
Okay, so let's talk about the guillotine. It dates back to the Middle Ages. So the name guillotine dates back to the 1790s.
That's one of those beautiful names, you know?
It really is. And I'm going to explain to you how it's got its name. And it's actually kind of a bummer.
Oh.
So yeah, during the French Revolution, they were being used a lot, but they weren't invented then. They'd been being used for centuries already. So a beheading device called the plank was used in Germany. That was its name before it was called the guillotine.
Mm-hmm.
It was used in Germany and during the Middle Ages. And the English had a sliding axe known as the Halifax gibbet.
Whoa.
Which may have been lopping off heads way back into antiquity. What is that word?
Wow.
Okay, so the French guillotine was likely inspired by those two other machines we talked about.
Okay.
In the Renaissance era.
Antiquity is the ancient past.
Thank you. All right. Whatever. We don't care. Okay. So it was originally developed as a humane way of executions. So yeah. The man who invented it, his name was Dr. Joseph Inglis Guillotin. His last name is Guillotine,
basically. Wow.
He proposed that the French government adopt a gentler method of execution. Gentler?
Yeah.
It's still definitely chopping someone's head off.
Like, but this is so much nicer. But
look, it's so fancy. Listen to it. It goes, shoo.
Yeah. Well, I guess at least this way you don't miss.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
He says, although he was very personally opposed to capital punishment, Guillotine argued that decapitation by a lightning quick machine would be more humane than a sword or axe beheadings.
Absolutely.
Which were botched, like the queen's.
Yeah.
That we just talked about. He later helped oversee the development of the first prototype. That was built by a German harpsichord maker named Tobias Schmidt. And I said, why don't we play the harpsichord anymore?
Yeah.
I enjoy the sound of the harpsichord. Makes me think of
Beauty. What's the harpsichord?
Like Beauty and the Beast, like that.
Is that different than a harp?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, Google what a harpsichord looks like.
I know, I need to see this. When
you hear the sound, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's like, I recognize that.
It's like a piano?
Yeah, it's like a piano something.
Wow. You're like, oh, That's the sound of my dreams.
Like, Google what it sounds like.
Yeah, I got one. Hold on. Let's see.
Once you hear it, you'll be like, oh, yeah. That's a harpsichord.
Yeah.
So the man who built those made the guillotine.
This is exactly the man I would picture playing a harpsichord.
Let me see. Does he look like Mozart or something? 100%.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what we're saying is bring the harpsichord back.
Oh my gosh.
Immediately. I'm going to have my girls playing the harpsichord.
You're like, sorry guys, you must take harpsichord till you reach 18 years
old. They're like, why can't we play something normal like a guitar? I'm like, because we honor the past.
I wonder if you can buy a harpsichord nowadays.
Oh, I don't know. They're probably billions of dollars.
Or
free. Who knows?
Maybe you can make your own.
Yes. If you can make a guillotine, you can make a harpsichord.
You know what? We have so many DIY Instagrams. Somebody out there is for sure making a harpsichord.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to find him.
Yeah.
Okay. So later, we already told you that. Harpsichords. Yes. So the device claimed its first official victim in April 1792, and it became known as the guillotine, much to the horror of its inventor, Guillotine.
He's like, I don't want this freaking name. Exactly. I don't even support this.
He tried to distance himself from the machine during the guillotine hysteria of the 1790s. He and his family later unsuccessfully petitioned the French government to change its name. But now it's just cemented in history, like for centuries. Insane. He's like, I don't want it to be called that.
I love the guillotine hysteria. It's like, oh my gosh, the guillotine. It's the most popular way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's pretty much what it
Everyone wants the guillotine.
Well, listen to this. I kind of loved these ladies a little bit. Okay, so during the Reign of Terror of the mid-1790s, thousands of enemies of the French Revolution met their end by the guillotine. So like, Les Mis times.
Yeah.
Some of the members of the public initially complained that the machine's too quick and clinical. They're like, we really want pain and suffering.
Yeah.
We're not getting it.
They're getting off too easy.
Yes. Before long, the process evolved into high entertainment. People came to the place of De La Revolution in droves to watch the guillotine do its grisly work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And there were lots of songs about it. It was hot shit. There were jokes and poems written about it. Wow. Spectators could buy souvenirs, read a program listing the names of the victims, and grab a quick bite to eat at a nearby restaurant called Cabaret de la Guillotine.
Oh, great.
So it's like truly hysteria. People are pumped about it.
They're handing out stone-carved figurines of it.
Yes. Here is, I kind of identify with these people. Okay. So people would attend on a daily basis. Most famously, the Tricotusses. Tricotusses. I don't know. Probably sounds really pretty in French.
Yeah.
They were a group of morbid women who supposedly sat besides the scaffold and knitted in between headings.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, would that be us?
I'm probably there.
Now I wouldn't. But like at the time when it was super in fashion, I'd be like, oh, we're going to go watch the beheadings.
Yeah.
And we're going to knit.
And knit a scarf.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
To like put their heads back on.
Yes.
To hold their heads back on.
And that's the story of the girl mm-hmm. with the ribbon.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The green ribbon or whatever.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And many people offered sarcastic quips or defiant last words before being executed. And they danced their way up to the step. So it was just like high entertainment for everyone.
They were a different breed then.
Think of really punchy last words. And they're like, I've got it. And then they go up and get their head cut off and they say their funny thing, you know?
Oh, my gosh. You know, this is all they had. This is all they had for entertainment. Okay?
Truly.
You guys.
Truly.
What? It was that or like milk a cow.
That was
or it. In Outlander, if you've watched it, they're like, we're going to gather as women and beat this cloth soaked in pee on a table.
Yeah, hot piss.
Ugh. And
they're going to, it was like dyeing fabric with piss.
Ugh.
I don't get it. But yeah, public beheadings continued in France until 1939.
Nope.
Bro.
1939?
Yeah.
There's people who are living now who probably were born before.
Yeah, they're
then.
Like, I remember. My mother was the Trichotussis lady. I'd like to interview that man.
I would too.
Okay.
If you know a man who has a trichotillosis mother, please.
She loved to knit. She loved to watch beheadings.
Send them our way.
She was a morbid woman. Okay. This is Jared's favorite part.
Yes.
Scientists conducted gruesome studies on the heads of the condemned.
Mm-hmm.
So from the beginning of its use, speculations were all over the place about if you remain conscious after having your head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
So the debate reached new heights in 1793 when an assistant executioner slapped the face of one of his victims, and the spectators claimed to have seen its cheeks flush in anger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And doctors later asked the condemned to try to blink or leave one eye open after their execution to prove that they could still move. And others yelled the deceased's name or expose their heads to candle flames or ammonia to see if they would react. They're like,
cool.
I know you're having a tough day.
But we're also going to burn you with a candle.
And I know we're like about to chop your head off. But after we do that, can you please do me a solid and like try to wink? Like just for fun.
Yeah.
They're like, you're really asking a lot of me.
They're like, but sure. For science.
For science. I'm also going to slap you across the face.
But I'm also like, they're like, his cheeks flushed. Also, if you hit someone, their face goes red.
It's true. There's still blood in their head for sure. Okay. In 1880, a doctor named Dassey Lingerie, I don't know.
Dassey Lingerie.
Dassey de Lingerie. even had blood pumped into the head of a guillotined child murderer. At first, what? I just thought it said guillotine child, and I was like, no. So it was a child murderer. They wanted to find out if it would come back to life and speak. The ghastly experiments were put to a stop in the 20th century, but studies on rats have since found that brain activity may continue for around 4 seconds after decapitation. So Jared could have 4 awesome seconds to do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, but he's like, the thing is like, yeah, people can say that, but nobody knows until it's you.
Yeah, nobody knows. Okay. It was last used in the 1970s. It remained France's state method for capital punishment.
Wow.
Yep. Convicted murderer Hamida Denjaubi became the last person to meet his end by the, quote, national razor after he was executed by the guillotine in 1977.
Wow.
Yep. And then they officially retired the guillotine in September 1981 when they don't even do capital punishment anymore.
Yeah. They're like, you know what? It's either beheadings or no death.
Yeah. Or you get to live forever in jail.
Yeah.
People are like, I want the guillotine.
They're like, no.
Okay. Let's move forward in time. And it's a little bit more metal, if you will. Let's talk about riding the lightning, the electric chair.
Woo!
Yeah. The electric chair is no longer used as a primary execution in the United States, but it was for a very long time. But at the time when it was invented, it was considered the best method available to carry out capital punishment.
Wow.
Yep. This list explains what it's like to die in the electric chair.
Oh my gosh.
This is not something you'd ever want to experience, right? It may be hard to believe, but this method of execution used to be considered humane.
What?
Terrible.
Stop it!
So the electric chair is the most storied form of the death penalty. And there are a lot of really terrible things about it.
Mm-hmm.
So William Kemmler was the first man to die via the electric chair in 1890. And it did not go well. He was convicted of murdering his wife with a hatchet.
Oh my gosh.
So the warden made sure that he was strapped in. And when they attached the electrodes to his head, the warden said, goodbye, William. And then he signaled for the switch to be pulled. And history was made. So after 17 seconds, 2 doctors examined the inmate and declared him dead. And it appeared that if everything had gone according to the plan, they're like, oh my gosh, that went great.
Wow.
And then someone shouted, great God, he's alive.
No.
Yeah, his heart was beating and he was noticeably breathing. And it was a huge disaster. So the current had to be switched on again, and it took 4 minutes.
Yeah, I'm like, how do you even, if it's the first time, like, how do you know how long or how powerful?
Exactly.
That's insane.
It took 4 minutes and his body was still warm for hours afterwards.
No.
Yeah. So the brutal nature of his death elicited sympathy in the media, who refer to him as a poor wretch. But George Westinghouse also, he said, they could have done a better job on him with an axe.
Truly, though.
Yeah.
That would be miserable. But it's humane, you guys.
But it's, like, super humane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so presumably, so people, there were people there witnessing it, right? Like, the guy yelled that he was still alive.
Yeah.
Some of them were so horrified that they tried to leave the room during the execution, and it was later claimed that his body became on fire. And over the years, there's been, like, people want to retire the electric chair.
Yeah.
But it is still occasionally used in the United States. Okay. So other famous deaths by electric chair include Ted Bundy. May he rest in hell. Albert Fish. May he also rest in hell. There aren't many electric. Okay, here are some facts for you. Some people just burst into flames. Okay, it's just the way it goes.
That's nuts.
Electrocution was initially used by in the 1880s as a means of killing cattle. They're like, no, don't shoot him. We'll just electrocute him, I guess.
That seems cool.
Right. Stray animals, like, instead of euthanizing them, they'll just, like,
oh. Also, like, how? They're like, let's bring this cow to this electrode machine.
Yeah, I don't know. Or if they would, like, put him in a trough and, like, buzz the water. Ugh, you know, gosh. I don't know.
I just don't believe it's very efficient. I've seen Marv off of Home Alone get electrocuted for, like, six straight minutes, and all that happened was his hair stood on
end. And we probably saw the outline of a skeleton.
Yes.
Yep, they'd also use it on, like, lame horses who had broken legs.
Mm-hmm.
So Thomas Edison was a staunch advocate for electrocution and believed it was superior to hanging. Superior.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
I would love to hear from him. Yeah,
so it was relatively inefficient, and it was inefficient method at best and really cruel at worst.
Do you think he meant, like, it's superior in, like, torturing people?
That's the only way.
It's gotta be, right?
I really don't know. Obviously, many people, like Albert Fish and Ted Bundy, they deserve all the pain
that
happened from it. But it's still absolutely horrific.
Totally.
Okay, so in 1982, Frank J. Coppola sat on the electric chair in Virginia. But things didn't go according to plan. So he was fried for 55 seconds. And during that period, people heard the unmistakable sounds of sizzling, like human flesh being cooked. And the prisoner's head and leg caught fire. And the death chamber quickly filled up with smoke and became extremely difficult to see the writhing man who was clearly going through, must have felt like torture. Incidentally, he got the death penalty for the brutal murder of a robbery. Like, why do we care? Skip that. Okay. Another case of the malfunctioning electric chair happened when they were trying to kill a guy named Pedro Medding in Florida State Prison. So they said that the awful death of him would make other people think twice about murdering someone in the state of Florida. It says people who wish to commit murder, they better not do it in our state because we may have a problem with our electric chair.
Oh my gosh. And so let me guess, no one ever murdered again.
Yeah. He says, I know there's a problem. I don't care. You better not be ending up in it because I can't guarantee a quick and easy death. That's the kind of man we want reforming our criminals.
Right.
Okay, so then Michael Minerva was a witness to Medina's death, and he described the terrible thing. He said that he fainted while being strapped in to the chair. So 2,000 volts were shot through his body within a few seconds. They saw wisps of white smoke coming from his body, and then a huge burst of flame.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, his entire head was in flame, and it lasted around 10 seconds.
Like, can you imagine? Oh.
Yeah, and they said that they're like, we think he probably died before the fire. And yeah. I was like, one can hope.
Oh. But they're not going to waste their time figuring it out.
Yeah. Did you ever see The Green Mile?
No, I didn't.
There is a horrible scene in that where one of the guards doesn't like the guy that's about to be executed, so they, like, don't do it properly, and he basically cooks to death instead of, like...
That sounds so bad.
It's so, so awful. Okay. It can also make your eyes pop out.
Cool.
So being electrocuted can cause the body to swell so much that the eyes pop out of the head. The sudden and extreme temperature can also make your eyes melt.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why prisoners often have their eyes taped shut and, like, they're blindfolded.
Yeah.
Yeah. So an autopsy cannot be performed on the body until it cools down. And they also can't check the pulse for, like, a little bit because it's, like, you can't touch the body. Yeah. Lethal electrocution.
Just 'cause they're, like, charged up.
Yep, it heats the internal organs, so they must wait till the body cools down before they can perform the autopsy. It's too hot, and it could, like, cause, like, burn you so much you blister.
Oh my gosh!
Just off of someone's flesh. So the electrons in your body move. So when you get an electric shock, like you've ever even just got static shock, and that's like funny feeling, it's because your electrons in your body's moving so fast.
Yeah,
I just had to write that down because I was like, that's very interesting. Yeah, they're running into each other.
And that's, like, startling enough, getting, like, touching something when you're statted up.
Oh,
like,
I know. Ah! Yes. Yeah, that's the only shock I ever want to feel.
Yeah.
So our muscles, they move when they receive electrical signals. Like, have you ever worn one of those? They put the electrodes on you and then it will, like.
Have you?
I did for track. Like, when you have muscle problems, I'll, like, put it on you and then it, I don't know, it rehabs you. So it feels like that.
Very interesting. I've always wanted to get one for the, like, you know, making your spouse feel like fake labor pains.
Yes. And I would love that.
Oh, so good.
Sheesh. Okay. So our muscles move. So electricity from an external source affects the muscles in some way. Okay. So it causes you to convulse. Like, you've seen people shake.
Yeah.
In movies or whatever when they're getting electrocuted. And the electric chair can cause convulsions so severe that they result in dislocation or fractured bones.
Oh, I believe it.
Yep, that's why a prisoner is strapped down. Because, I mean, I always assumed it was so they wouldn't run away, but it's because their body will just, like, fly in all different directions.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So, if you're curious, what actually kills you about being electrocuted? Well, I'll tell you. Your heart is muscle.
Yeah.
So the electric shock has the potential to interrupt your heart's rhythm, so it just stops beating. So most accidental electrical overloads end in cardiac arrest. So a lot of times you die because your heart
goes too crazy.
Then it just stops. Another fun side effect is it can cause involuntary bodily functions.
Yeah.
Yep. So when people are electrocuted, they can urinate, defecate, and vomit blood. Involuntary bowel release can also occur if a person gets strong enough shock.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So there's a movie about notorious serial killer Ted Bundy, who cried uncontrollably as he's being led to Old Sparky, which was Florida's electric chair. Prison officers had rammed cotton up his backside to ensure that he wouldn't defecate all over himself and the chair.
Oh, my gosh.
As nasty as it sounds, there was a logic to this. And they also offered diapers. They're like, you can wear a diaper if you
are too nervous.
Yeah. And it, like, they should make them anyway because it's like a mess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Who wants to clean that up afterwards?
Exactly. Well, I didn't write it down, but, like, when people get electrocuted, usually it smells like bacon because, like, human.
That's, like, documented?
Yeah. It was in a lot of articles. Human meat and pork, it's, like, similar.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it smells like bacon. And a lot of times, like, people's skin is, like, so burned that they have to, like, scrape it off of the chair.
No.
Yep, that's a thing that happened.
Gross.
So when it's time to die, the prison warden gives a signal to the executioner, who pulls the handle to connect to the supplies. So they basically just, like, you know, drop the switch.
Yeah.
When the prisoner's body is struck between 500 and 2,000 volts, courses for like 30 seconds, the executioner will reflip the switch, and so then the body relaxes. So the doctors have to wait a few seconds for the body to cool down enough to check the heart rate, like I already told you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they do that over and over again until the heart's no longer beating. So there's not like...
But after the first shock, you're at least unconscious, right?
It seems that
way. I would hope.
Oh my gosh, I'd hope so.
It's so stressful to think about.
It really is.
I feel like everything you say, I'm just like processing, like, and I'm like, this is...
It's horrible.
I can't.
I would really rather have my head cut off. I'd rather have a Mary Queen of Scots execution over this, I think.
Oh. A chop to the back of the head and then just like a little dangly and then another... Three chops?
I don't like any of it. I take it back.
I'll do a guillotine.
I'll do a guillotine.
I mean, I'd prefer none of them, but...
Yes. Yeah, like I said, prison officers have to scrape skin off the chair before it can be used again. Okay. Okay, so that is the electric chair.
Yeah.
Lastly, let us talk about lethal injection.
Yeah, this one's interesting to me.
It really is. Okay, so lethal injection, a method of execution for, you know, bad guys, hopefully.
This is the most common one now, right?
Yes. So, so there's one or more chemicals that are used to induce death. So lethal injection is now the most widely used method of execution in the United States, at least. Mm-hmm. It was adopted by the U.S. Senate in Oklahoma in 1977 when it was considered cheaper and more humane than the electric chair.
Yeah, I would.
So during lethal injection procedure, a prisoner is strapped to a gurney on a padded stretcher like what they use to transport patients at hospitals.
Okay.
So until the late in the first decade of the 21st century... Why do you have to say it like that? It consisted of a typical lethal injection consisted of three chemicals injected to a viable part of the body, like an arm, like a vein.
Yeah.
So in this order, first was sodium thiopental. It is a barbiturate anesthetic, which is supposed to induce a deep unconsciousness in about 20 seconds after being
shot. That's up. What I was wondering. I'm like, is this going to cause like... weird brain stuff. I don't know.
Anyway. Yeah. And then the second one is pancuronium barmide, which is a muscle relaxant given in sufficient dosages, paralyzes all voluntary muscles, therefore causing suffocation. Because like all of your like breathing.
Like everything slows until it stops.
Yep. So suffocation, and then potassium chloride, which induces irreversible cardiac arrest to stop the heart.
Oh my gosh.
It is so scary that these drugs just exist.
Yeah, like why? Like why were they invented? They have to have a purpose, right?
Why would you make potassium chloride? Ooh, so Sheesh. If all goes to plan, the entire execution takes about 5 minutes, with death usually occurs around less than 2 minutes. After the final injection.
I mean, it is very quick.
Yeah, it is. So botched lethal injections have sometimes required more than 2 hours to achieve death.
2 hours?
Yeah. In 2009, the attempted execution of Rommel Broom in Ohio was halted before any drugs were entered because they couldn't find a vein that they could get into. So they're poking around forever. Couldn't find a vein.
Oh my gosh.
That was the first and only... execution in the United States to have been halted while in progress.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, the death penalty is still legal in most states because I Googled a map of it and I was going to show you, but my phone died.
Yeah.
And it's like only California and like one other one don't have it.
Wow.
Because other ones, most of the states were green, which meant they had it. And then some were like, we're just taking a break from it, you know, like moratorium.
Oh man. Okay. I see it. Yeah, it's like, is this the one you were looking at? Yeah,
that's exactly.
Yeah, so there's California and Oregon are
no death penalty.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. And then a bunch of them are is illegal. Wait. Read that.
So the green states, it is legal.
Yes.
The blue states is...
it's illegal.
Illegal. But then in the red states, it's legal, but a moratorium is in place.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is a moratorium?
Moratorium means, like, that's a break.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if it will be that way forever, but that's how it is right now.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's my story.
Wow.
And my sources were historycollection.com. Here are 10 unsettling things you don't know about the electric chair and its victims through history by Patrick Lynch. A history.com article, 8 things you might not know about the guillotine by Evan Andrews.
Wow.
Combined military service museum.com. Ranker.com, Creepy Things You Didn't Know About Dying in the Electric Chair by Catherine Ripley.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like, so someone once told me, I don't know if this is true or not, but it, because I was like, well, you know, I feel like it'd be awful to be in prison for your whole life. Like,
yeah,
death penalty would be, but I'm like, and then like, you wouldn't want to like, it probably is a lot to keep someone alive for a long time.
Yeah.
In the prison system. But someone told me that it's actually more expensive for you to do the death penalty than to keep someone alive for their whole life because of like all the legal stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. Like, gotta like get all of this. Like, you need so many go-aheads to like get a person to.
So I was like, it's just very interesting. So, and I mean, is it ethical? I don't know.
I don't know. It honestly depends on the case.
Yeah. Like, some of them I'm like, hell no.
Yeah, like all of the serial killers that are like, you know, totally admit to it. You're like, yes, do
that.
But I'm like,
but then does that make me just as bad as them? I don't know.
I don't know. See, that's the thing. That's why I was like, I don't really want to debate that because I might change my opinion. I'm not like,
totally. I'm not educated enough on it. And I also just am like, yeah, it could go either way. Wow. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Wild. Wild times.
Yeah. And you guys, we are doing a photo shoot for our merch this week. So keep your eyes peeled because we're going to be dropping it as soon as our website's ready.
Yep. Patreons will get first dibs, then you guys. So if you want to join our Patreon, go ahead. We just filmed a new episode about Jared from Subway.
Oh my gosh.
And it was awful.
It's seriously the worst documentary we've ever covered.
So, definitely.
I mean, you could watch it, but I wouldn't. I would just listen to what we have to say. Yes,
absolutely.
Because it was worse than Michael Jackson stuff.
Absolutely.
And there's like 1,000 warnings. It is
so
very awful. Horrible pedophilia.
But amazing how he was caught. So.
Oh, yes. The story is so good.
It's just nuts.
Yeah. Super recommend. Becoming a
also
patron.
If you're interested in getting involved with the harpsichord, you can buy one from earlymusicshop.com for $37,287. There's only one left in stock, so order now.
I am gonna be saving up.
Better hurry.
I'm gonna put it on layaway.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Oh.
I do love the harpsichord.
Yeah,
I will die on this hill.
You're just like, I come over to your house, you're
like, you're like, whoa, am I in like France,
18th century France? Yes. wow.
Yeah, well,
I'm gonna love it. I really hope you do. I
think I just might.
Get it for your kids. Tell Todd it's an investment in your children's future.
It's gonna be an heirloom.
You know what? I bet your kids could get some sick scholarships based off a harpsichord.
They'll get full scholarship. Rides. Yeah. They've been looking for one kid to play the harpsichord. And just, guess what? It's mine.
It's just not around anymore.
Yeah,
they can play is like Mary Had a Little Lamb, but they're like,
we don't care.
We're impressed.
We love it. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that this story wasn't too shocking for you. Do less, God bless. Gloom and bloom out.